associations, and those are the two deliverables I would like to bring to a new board if appointed. In terms of conflict, I've got no conflicts that preclude me from holding a position on the SABC board. And the third part is I've been motivated to join this board for specific reasons. One is I believe it's both a challenging opportunity to be on the board, but at the same time it's very exciting to me, because when I look at DTT, for example, it's going to free up a whole lot of spectrum and bandwidth, and that provides a major opportunity for the SABC to expand its channel offerings. And I believe if we utilize that those expanded channels, we can fulfill the mandate of the public broadcast more effectively and efficiently. In terms of opportunity to set a model amongst SOEs, I believe we are at the opportune time now with the SABC to use the SABC to set a model which should be emulated by other state public enterprises. For example, we can set a very high ethical standard, a moral standard, and a very tight framework of accountability that focuses very strongly on consequent management, and hopefully other SOEs would follow that model. And the value of that approach, Chair, is that we would now send a very strong signal to the investment community, both externally and internally, that now is the time to invest in this country. And I think the benefits are positive.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Naidu. You are saying you are a professional lawyer.
That's right, Chair.
If we interviewed 10 professional lawyers, for the same post, if you like, what is this thing that is distinct to you that will lead us to above all of them to recommend you?
Well, I think the distinguishing factor is that one is the length of experience. I mean, I've got a wealth of experience in the area of law, which I would bring to the board. And secondly, is an understanding of the legal environment, a broad understanding of the legal environment, not just a narrow understanding. For example, if one looks at the legal framework governing the SABC, it's not just the SABC Act. I mean, you look at the Constitution, the Treasury Regulation, the Electronic Environment, Electronic Communications Act, a whole number of other legislation acts that govern this environment. And I believe I've got sufficient experience. I've worked in this space for the last 30 years, and that's my distinguishing quality.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chris, more often when you are part of the interim board, more often when the interim board and any other person from the SABC comes here, when they talk about the SABC, there's very little that you say about the SABC radio vision. If you were to try and change people's mindset that the SABC is not only about this television vision, how will you approach that particular aspect, and why do you think it's important?
Well, the SABC has got 18 radio stations, which has a large footprint across the country. If you take the totality of listenership over a month, it's probably in the region of about 30 million listeners now. That's a very large footprint. But the challenge there in a young democracy is that the credibility of your message is critical to keep people informed, which is one of the important elements or deliverables of a public broadcaster. So radio plays a big part. Television is a more popular approach. I mean, it's a much, you need less time, you need less intensity of concentration to watch television. But when it comes to radio, I think we've got a much bigger footprint than television in this country.
I think surely, since you were appointed an interim board member, you might have now come across some good stories in the SABC over and above these negative stories that we hear. Can you share with South Africans what are some of these positive things that are happening in the organization?
Well, there are two key positives I've seen in the last few months. First, the staff itself. I've seen a new approach to the work. In the past few years, I think they felt they were under pressure, they couldn't apply themselves optimally. Right now, I see a new type of staff complement at the SABC, and I think that's great news going forward. Secondly, in terms of the revenue generation of the SABC, I mean, it was a decline at one point, but in the last few months, we've seen an uptick in the license fee collection. To some extent, that might tell you, it's not as scientific, but it might tell you that the general population in this country are beginning to appreciate the changes that are taking place within the SABC. And we're also beginning to see advertisers now coming forward, because with stability and with a value system that is now developing within the SABC, advertisers now want to be on that major platform and footprint that it offers. So we're seeing an uptick in advertising.
Some people are starting to suggest that we need to review the powers and the role of the executive directors in the board. What's your take on that? And do you think it's a wise thing to do?
Well, that suggestion is actually contained in the Broadcast Amendment Bill. My take on that entire amendment is that it should not take place, and for the following reasons. One, I think when it comes to the SABC, you need a very rigorous process, as we are doing now. First, it brings forth your best candidates through a very public process, and two, it gives the public confidence in the people that eventually are chosen to run this organization as directors for the next 5 years. Now, if you are going to conflate the executive powers, bearing in mind that the duties of boards are merely oversight mechanisms, board members are part-time, and therefore, as the accounting authority, they would have accountable in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, but it's merely an oversight duty. What you need at the SAB is full-time people like a CEO, a CFO, and a CEO to take responsibility for the functioning of that organization and to become accountable in terms of the PFMA.
Time is up.
Not even 10 seconds. Okay. Digital migration, Chris, what does it mean to the SABC? And if you were to advise the minister, because this time around we can't afford not to meet the deadline, what does it mean, and what kind of an advice can you give so that this time around we don't miss it like what happened in the past?
Well, very simply, digital migrations mean one step in the evolution of television and the transmission of data. We were on the analog platform. We are now moving to digital. What it means is that you can move more information on less fiber if you're looking at terrestrial migration. It frees up a lot of bandwidth. It frees up spectrum that can be sold to industry to get the economy going in this country, and it can also be utilized by SABC to open up more channels and give a better offering to the public.
Thank you very much. Honorable Fanda.
Thanks, Chair. Thanks, Mr. Naidu. I mean, so you still work at Luthuli House as a legal consultant. Well, the Act doesn't say, you know, people work for political parties can't serve on the SABC board. I think it would have been right for you to resign from that position, because the idea is to get a board that is kind of independent of political parties. So why have you not resigned from that position?
Well, I think that's a very important question, and one could infer from that by working for a political organization and coming onto a board like the SABC, the propensity is that one could use this position to influence, let's say, editorial policy, for example, the space that is given to political parties. But when you look at that inference, you must test the reasonableness of that inference that you've just made, Honourable Member. If you look at my track record on the SABC for the past 3.5 years, I've stood up against some very, very serious decisions taken by ANC ministers. That's the first point. The second point, decisions taken by ANC members of the SABC board. That's the first part. The second part is, well, I would put my reason for wanting to be on the board at this stage to what I call political maturity. It's not about going onto a board to try and score narrow parochial political points, but when you make, at this stage in one's life, when you sit on a board like the SABC, it's about wanting to make a contribution to the public good that serves their public entirely and not any specific interest.
Yeah, and I still find it a bit dicey. We would never, for example, nominate someone from DA head office to serve on the SABC board. We wouldn't think that's right. But I'd like to move on. Which subcommittee do you head up?
At the SABC, I chair the Audit and Risk Committee.
Audit and Risk. So there was a letter sent to the committee about a security tender. And then I was subsequently sent documents about that tender, so which kind of proves the authenticity of what is said in that email. So there was a tender awarded to Njayeli Security, but then the board decided to give it to a different company. Why was that?
Well, what happened there is that, firstly, the security tender was being extended for but at least a year and a half, you know, on every 3 months. For some reason, it was being extended in the absence of a board. And it came to a head in the last month or two. And some information was brought to the attention of the chair of the board on that security tender that something could have happened there which influenced the prime contender for that tender. The board looked into it. It looked at the scoring mechanism. It looked at the way the tender was allocated. It sought legal advice from the legal department of the SABC and concluded that with justification, it could then award that tender to the second party that came in because the price differential was very minimal. It's a five-year tender. So it was a considered process by the board, not an individual, to award it to a different party. And now that's been contested in court, which is, I think, is a good thing. It opens up an objectivity to justify the board's action.
I'm glad it's been dealt with in a judicial process, and then we'll just wait for the outcome of that court case so that the information was made available to us as Parliament and we are right to ask those questions. But if it's in court, we'll see what happens. And then I think I'll also ask the chairperson the same question. So you were on the board from the previous board for 3 years?
Yes, that's right.
And in those 3 years, a lot of things happened. It was corruption, Claudia Watsoneng, was offered the position of COO permanently. There was endless litigation. I think in those years, the SABC was basically brought to its knees. Now, I appreciate the fact that you spoke out after you left the SABC board, you testified before the SABC inquiry. My question is, in those 3 years, why didn't you publicly speak out against what was happening on that SABC board?
I thought I just gave you an example of various times in that 3 years where I spoke out, and publicly. So I have spoken out in those 3 years. I mean, for example, when the minister appointed Claudia Motsoeneng as the COO, I spoke out against that.
Publicly, not on the
board.
It was
published in the newspapers, in the Sunday newspapers.
I don't recall that, but I'm looking
well,
for
I'm,
forward.
Well, I'm just correcting you.
Kalidas and...
No, I spoke out. If you look at your own DA application, the application that you brought in the Western Cape High Court, you will see that I'm one of the parties that did not support that nomination. So,
but in the board, but I mean, did you come to Parliament and say... I'm not talking about objecting during board meetings. I mean, when you see something that's patently illegal happening as a lawyer, why didn't you write, for example, to the chairperson of the Committee of Communications and say, here is something happening, it is seriously problematic. If that doesn't help you, you speak out publicly, you know, inform a journalist, do something. I don't recall you speaking out publicly against what was happening. I'm not talking about objecting in board meetings. I'm talking about publicly standing up and saying, this is legal, this is wrong, come and see what's happening at the SABC board. What's happening is really, really bad.
Just hold on there. Members will recall that when yesterday I raised the public comments, that comment was saying all members of the interim board must not be considered precisely because of that. And it affects all of them. I'm not sure if you did raise this thing because we had one board member yesterday. So it's information that we received through the public comments for this exercise. I just wanted to remind members that there was that information yesterday. Go ahead, Mr. Naidu.
Yeah, just on that question, I've spoken out publicly, and I think the honourable member should do herself a favour to confirm her own thinking on this matter and go back to the various documentation. But I think another example I could quote is when Honourable Davis came on an oversight visit last year, in the first quarter of last year, and I raised the issue of, he wanted to know, is there any way that they could assist us as Parliament? And I said, yes, there were three board members that were illegally removed in this board, and I did that in the presence of the entire oversight committee, which included Honourable Davis and the board. So I've spoken out.
That's the response. Honorable Lose, it's now your turn.
Thank you.
Mr. Naidu, are you an ANC deployee in the board?
No, I'm not an ANC deployee. I was recommended by a group of lawyers.
Did you inform any member or leader of the ANC about the CEO, recent CEO process, appointment process?
Not to my knowledge. I formed part of the panel in that process, but I've not spoken to anyone outside the SABC.
Have you spoken to anybody in the ANC about that process? That's the direct question.
I've not spoken to anyone.
Okay. And then can you explain to me what were the charges against you when you were in the boxing board?
It was failure to execute duties. There were some allegations that monies went missing. But in the end, all those charges were dismissed.
By who?
By an independent inquiry.
An independent inquiry, which body? Which independent
inquiry?
The
boxing board appointed a presiding officer. It went for about 3 weeks, the entire inquiry. And in the end, the charges were all found not guilty, and the boxing board compensated me.
But you were on a special leave for 12 months, am I right?
I can't remember, but it's about 3 or 4 months, not 12 months.
Yeah, my information says about 8 to 12 months. So, if they resolved it in 2 weeks, why were you on special leave for 12 months?
Well,
even 4 months, according to you.
Now, the boxing board had about 3 attempts to try and bring those charges. It first brought a set of charges, and it withdrew those charges. And then 2 months later, it brought a second set of charges. It withdrew, brought a third set of charges, and that was the delay in the whole process.
Okay, and then second from the last question. So you took a stand in the past board against malfunction and all those things, and the only thing you did was, in this explanation, now speak in public. Why didn't you tell the actual authorities that could have taken action about the things that were happening? It's not just the appointment of Saudi. We know you to have spoken publicly at the time at which Saudi was appointed, but there were many wrong things that were revealed in the interim board, which happened in that 3-year tenure, which you didn't speak about, but also you didn't tell at least Parliament or anybody about. If you did, please give examples.
Yeah, I think the way one needs to understand how boards work. In the previous board, the permanent board, I spent 3 years there. Now you deal with matters that is brought to your attention. as a non-executive director, if matters are not brought to board, you have no knowledge about it. The different approach that we adopted with the interim board is that we took a view that it would be business unusual. What we've done is that we, as interim board members...
No, please stick to the past board.
No, we met with the business units. Now, on the past board, mm-hmm. we sat and adjudicated on matters that were brought before the board.
Well, wait, Mr. Kish, I don't want you to get out of this question. It's your opportunity to place on record properly. You said that you spoke, my knowledge is you spoke only in relation to the wrongful appointment of Saudi. There were many things that were wrong that happened in the three-year tenure in which you were in the SABC. And I put it to you, you didn't say anything about them, either to the communications committee or to any authority that could have taken action against them. Leave the activities of the interim board, which is fixing the things that have been going on in the past. What did you do if you did something? Because to our knowledge, we don't know that you did anything except to oppose the appointment of Saud, which is a bit easy, in my view, to oppose.
Well, 1 month after my appointment in 2013, I opposed the multi-choice agreement, and that's in public record of the SABC. I said it was an unlawful agreement, and it needed to be set aside. That was 1 month after being appointed. When the three...
So something unlawful happens, you just take a public platform. Isn't it proper to approach a body so that such a thing can be set aside? I think we appreciate why I'm being very pushy on you. Moving forward, we can't just speak. We have to take action to make sure that the responsibilities bestowed on us as members of the board are actually taken seriously. So if you are going to continue just speaking publicly, you won't save the SABC because speaking publicly didn't. So multi-choice agreement is illegal. You speak out. Why didn't you do something that could have stopped it?
What I did is I wrote an opinion for the board. I gave it to the board. What the board did is got a counter-opinion to counter what I was saying. Now, in that circumstance, as a board member, what else could I do? That's the question. Remember, I'm operating in a corporate environment at the board. I produce an opinion, a legal opinion, setting out why it's unlawful.
I appreciate that. Final question is, I got a chairperson. Yes, final question. Many people would say that's precisely why you shouldn't be in the board. That many of you senior people who have been in this space of communications for some time, things have gone wrong under your watch. Why should we appoint you? Because you are defeated by these things. You are unable to stop them. So why should we put you, why shouldn't we get new blood? Why should we return you? Because you've been in this space in your own explanation for some time and things have gone wrong. Nothing you do saves situations.
No, sure, things have gone wrong because the board was dysfunctional. You know, one must, when you have a board of 9 executive, non-executive directors and 7 of them go in a particular way and 2 go in another way, you have to respect that outcome. It may not be the right outcome, but you have to respect governance.
Even if it's illegal.
For the record.
Even if it's illegal.
No, for the record, on every high-level contentious matter on SABC, I stand on record as having opposed those decisions.
I was
in a minority.
Thank you very much. And permit me to start by thanking Krish for having contributed. When we requested you to serve in the interim board, thanks for that. Well, of course, there are a number of problems that need to be looked into and resolved so that we then can be able to move forward. So you have done your part. You have indicated that you moved out basically because you could not swallow the kind of situation that permeated the SABC then. But then the problem is, was there no way, Krish, that you could be able to access the information? I know there was a chairperson who was at the center, okay, was no way in any way that you could be able to access this whole thing and then deal with the problem at the meetings of the board. You see, and I'll come back to the next questions, so that it's once, I don't come back again and again, all right? I have very many questions, but then I won't ask them, because with you, we're talking to a person who has been there, who played, you know, one of the major roles during the problem there. So my first point then is, couldn't you do anything at all instead of simply walking out? Particularly because, Grish, you are an advocate, okay? That's the first thing. And secondly, yes, if you were to go back then, how do you then improve the situation? Because we're having momentous challenges there. Lots and lots of monies have been taken. Let me not go into that because you know this thing. But then the main problem that we shall have as Parliament is the role that you are playing in a political party, because a question shall be raised to say he is the advisor in this particular political party and then he must play this role again. Don't you think we're going to have a problem? I'm saying this role, the role I'm referring to, is being at the SABC board, okay, but then at the same time being in that particular political party, playing a center kind of role as a legal advisor.
You have 1 minute left.
Thank you, Chair. Let's take the last question first. I don't work for the SABC. I'm a professional, I'm a consultant. So when it comes to a relationship between a lawyer and a client, you know, you can have any client, you can have, you can work for the ANC today and you can also have a client tomorrow from the PAC. And if you remember, there was a major issue a few weeks ago regarding a particular advocate who was condemned by a political party for taking work from a political party, a particular political party. Now, that is, lawyers work across the board. And if you look at my CV, Honorable Madisha, you'll see I've worked for the ANC, I've done work for the PAC, a ZAPO, a ZASA. I've worked across the board. I mean, that's the way a lawyer works, you know. So the fact that I give legal advice, I don't work at Luthuli House. I give specific legal advice. I mean, I'm not a politician. I don't hold any political office in the ANC, and I have no aspirations of being a politician. So I think one must distinguish that from being a politician and coming from a political party. That's the first point. The second point on your first part of your question is access to documents. We must be careful that the SABC is a national key point. I cannot take documents willy-nilly from a national key point, breach my oath of fiduciary oath to the organization and go and give it to third parties or even to Parliament for that matter.
Thank you.
Parliament
is
on the side body. They can obtain it themselves.
Thank you very much. It's unfair for the candidate. No, it's very unfair for the candidate. Only 1 minute for him to respond to questions. It's unfair. Honorable Dolash.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon, Mr. Krish Naidu. I think let me take this opportunity to thank you as a person for having allowed yourself to be put into the interim board, and the kind of work that we have managed to do this far from a very unfriendly environment. The SABC looks better than it was before the interim board came in. However, it's a fact that you're part of the then board that was that the parliament was forced to dissolve. As a lawyer, you might have to understand, you might not understand all the technicalities where sometimes, for instance, as a lay person, I would expect you to blow the whistle when wrong things happen around you being a board member. Can you just take half a minute, just explain to this panel, why is that you are unable to do anything that can be done by me, an ordinary, and just a person either than you as a member of the board? What is this that you cannot do that can be done by myself? If I can realize that next to me she's stealing something, next to me something has been stolen, and I can do everything. But as a board member, you said there are things that you can't do. What are those? Just take us half a minute, please. I'll come back, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Firstly, I mean, I have a fiduciary relationship to the board. I mean, that's governed by law. I cannot do what a person in the street can do in terms of information, dissemination of information. I am bound by the fiduciary framework of the board. I am bound by law not to disclose information that from the board, in other words, minutes and discussions that take place at the board. I can only do that with the permission of the board. So I have, as a board member, all I can do to express my dissatisfaction with a particular decision is to vote against it. But if the majority of board members vote in favor of that, for whatever reason, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, one must respect the outcome of that process. That's what corporate governance and corporate law is all about.
Thank you very much, Mr. Naidu. Mr. Naidu, I understand there's a tiff between yourself and Mr. Hlaudi, unfortunately. If you might be appointed to the board, with all that is happening between yourself, I don't know whether it's personal or it's because you are a member of interim board, and what he's doing, for instance, today is now public information that he had a press conference and your name was frequently mentioned in a very bad way. My worry is, how would you handle that situation in case you are appointed as a board member? How would, in avoiding to take the board into disrepute? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think, you know, one must distinguish my duties as a board member. I mean, it's a major undertaking to be on the board, the next permanent board. But I also see a major opportunity to make a contribution. Now, one must look at that against the complaints of somebody who was part of that organization, who was fired through a due process of that organization, and who's got rights to go and appeal and take it to other jurisdictions. Now, if that person chooses to besmirch any board member or an interim board or any institution around the SABC, now, it's not for me to say, look, maybe I should be worried about that. I mean, that person has got the right to do it. But what is important is that I am not responding and creating a sideshow between me and Hlaudi Motsoeneng. I'm focused very much on my work on the current interim board. And if appointed to the permanent board, I will focus very strongly on that and not allow myself to be distracted by a person who's bitter, I believe.
Honourable Chairperson, Mr. Naidu, you would remember there was reluctance from the board, especially the executive, to account to the portfolio committee. One of the reasons was that it's only 3% that they are receiving from government. Therefore, to a large extent, there was an idea that, in fact, they were not supposed to account to the PC. What is your take on that one?
Chair, that's a complete misunderstanding of an accountable SOE to government and to the executive authority. Even if no funds come from government, the SABC was established by government with government funding, and it's accountable to government because it is a public institution. So irrespective of the funding that comes from government into the SABC, it is accountable. And there's good reason for it to be accountable because it carries a public mandate and it has a major influence in the lives of the entire country. So on that basis, it's accountable, it carries a public mandate, and it's that public mandate or that line of accountability not dependent on the amount of money put in by government into the SABC.
Thank you very much. Honorable Kongobele.
I think, good afternoon, Hare Krishna. Am I correct?
The first time I read the name.
I think in dealing with the questions, Mr. Naidu, I think you have clarified a lot of my questions in a particular way, especially on the conduct of on the practice that governs the behavior of a board member. But there's a question you're not going to run away from, which is going to keep on coming. That 3 years, I commend, I've seen you, to due respect, I've read a number of times about your public objections. That's why, to me, out of hand, I can remember a number of them. But the problem is that 3 years is a long period. It's a period that forces one to ask a question. Looking at how you conducted yourself during that 3 years, if you look back, what is it that going forward, if you become a member of the board, you would do differently? If you appreciate the fact that it's not unreasonable that people are concerned that you were in that 3 years, with all the good things that the major question that needs to be answered, looking back at all the things that happened, what are things that you think you can do differently?
Thank you, Chair. I think, firstly, what is important, not just for what I can do differently, but what can be done differently by boards like the SABC board. I mean, the first weakness I think we need to cure with board is to give proper training to board members. So the kind of challenges and mistakes we saw happening at the SABC would not happen again. Secondly, I think it's important that you choose the right quality of board members so you don't have these kind of problems. You know, it's very unfortunate that you have boards, and not just the SABC, but quite a few parastatals, where they are given a latitude to take certain decisions in breach of governance laws that govern them without any consequences. So what I would do in a board is to ensure that there is strict, consequent management going forward so that these kind of problems do not rear their heads again.
I move on the basis that you will be having quality board members, but who deliberately are in a state of misdemeanor. Because an assumption that everybody who was deployed at that time was poor quality person could hide a lot of things. I've seen situations where qualified people do despicable things, and when you examine them closely, whether or not this person is deliberately doing this something, I'm creating a scenario of you finding yourself in a similar situation, but quality of the people being not the issue, but you're finding yourself immersed in an environment of deliberate dismay.
Yeah, if it's deliberate demeanor, then the environment is such that there's an opportunity to correct that either through criminal litigation, civil litigation, to remove the problem. What is important, I believe, is to have the will to take those steps.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Thank you very much, Honorable Kalago.
Oh, it's off. Good afternoon, Mr. Krishna. Look, I won't get into
I will get into these most pertinent controversial issues. But I'm happy that you have clarified this thing of a conflict of interest and this thing of working, being a consultant is very good. Especially with the, what is happening in the country now. If you remember, just the example was made in the response of Nadel. And the response of Nadel of how the professionals in this profession is treated. Because you can work tomorrow, consult for DA, consult tomorrow for any, because you have consulted even for private sector. Yeah. So I think, with EFF we change. Their lawyers sometimes consult for us. Our lawyers consult for them. They are not our lawyers.
Advocates don't.
As we are clients, we are. So. But what I want to get to. Will you, as you are saying, because what we want here, you have display at least this position of being independent, following proper guides according to the Act, according to the Charter, according to all the documents which governed. I want you to actually really guarantee us that if you are in the board, you will pursue that independence irrespective of who is actually the stakeholder, irrespective of who is trying to have influence. Because the board is not only influenced by the ruling party. DA influences the board. EFF influences the board. Every body, because that's a public broadcaster for all of us. So, to me, the key is the person which we put there must always keep that position and always keep that credibility of SABC, never to go to where we have taken out from. So that's if you can just, for me, guarantee us for that on that. Because the other issues that you work there, it's non-issue to me. We have many DA people working in many areas. We don't question them. And they do help stay. In fact, this question was asked yesterday by the chair to one candidate here. So we that is not the issue. The issue is credibility and independence and integrity. That's the issue here, which of the people who want in the board.
Now you have 1 minute to respond,
chair,
and that will be it.
Let me give two quick responses. I think the Honourable Member pointed out to certain qualities which I have, and I will have going forward. That's the first point. If I do anything untoward, I believe that I will be acting out of character. Because I've got a long track record that goes back from the 1970s, which is out there in the public space about my credibility, my independence, and my integrity. So I will be acting out of character. But coming back to political influence on the SABC, I thought about this quite carefully. And my view is that we should set up a subcommittee at the SABC to jealously guard our editorial policy. So if there are attempts by any political party or any individual, those requests should be directed to that subcommittee. So what you're doing is you're institutionalizing any effort to try and effect political influence on the SABC.
Honorable Davis, you are the last.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Mr. Naidu. You say that you were not deployed by the ANC. You just said that earlier. You said that it was a group of lawyers that recommended you. But this contradicts what you said in Parliament last year in October, when you told this committee that, and I quote, I was asked by the ANC to sit on this board. So why are you telling us today that the ANC did not deploy you, but 9 months ago you were saying that the ANC did deploy you?
No, what I said in Parliament was that I was asked by the ANC, an individual put my name forward for the permanent board. I then went to my party that I'm consulting and said, look, I've been nominated by so-and-so to sit on this board. What is your view? And he said, please go and do it. And all we're asking you to do is to try and help rectify and fix that board. That was the only thing I tried to, instruction, if you want to call it that, that came from the ANC. In the 3.5 years that I've been on this board, not once did the ANC tell me on any day, and I worked very closely with some of the full-time officials of the ANC, was I ever told to do anything or say anything at the SABC board.
Don't you think it was inappropriate to go back to the ANC to ask whether or not you should stay on the board?
Another question of staying on the board. When you've got a client that you're consulting to and a proposition is made that you sit on the board, the first thing you have to establish is that is there going to be a conflict of interest? Now, the client says there's no conflict of interest because you are serving that board because of your capabilities as a lawyer and your integrity, etc. So it's got nothing to do with us. That was what I meant when I said the ANC said go and serve on that board.
Okay. You said earlier that you stood up to an ANC minister, and that might well be true. Your CV notes that you were an advisor to Derek Hanekom, the former Minister of Tourism. So some people might say that you only did what you did because you were actually serving a specific faction of the ANC, because we know which faction that minister is on and we know which faction Minister Mutambi is on. Now, the problem is when you're a political deployee, people use a political lens to interpret your actions. And that is the problem with political deployments. How would you respond to that?
You don't have to put me to any microscope or any lens. Judge me by my public record. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I stood up against ANC ministers. I stood up against ANC-dominated boards at SABC. Now, that's a matter of public record. You know, you don't have to try and put that into a particular which is not entirely true.
You see, perception is very important in public life. And there is a public perception that the SABC is biased towards the governing party. And we've heard candidate after candidate here in the last 2 days saying that the SABC is moving towards a state broadcaster, if it isn't a state broadcaster already. Don't you think that this negative perception is fueled by the deployment of people like yourself from the ANC to the board? And don't you think that you yourself will be damaging the public perception of the SABC board by accepting this nomination?
I mean, why you rely on perceptions, Honourable Member, when you've got the reality? You know, I mean, I don't understand your logic. Perceptions become reality in the absence of justification or records. You've got a public record of what I've said and what I've stood for while being a member of the SABC board. Now, to try and insinuate that because you provide advice to a political party, I mean, you're actually demeaning my credibility, you know? I mean, I've got a track record of credibility, and I'd like to hold it up and say, this is what I believe in, and if I see something wrong, I will say something about it, which I've done as a board member.
Isn't the simplest thing to do just to resign from your position as a consultant to the ANC? Wouldn't that be just the simplest thing to do? Why won't you do that?
No, it's not the simplest thing to do. It's a form of income for me. That's the first thing. The second thing, I don't see a conflict of interest. That's why I won't resign.
It's 4 seconds left. Members, I see the hand. We are left with three candidates. If you want follow-ups, I will give you. Despite we took a decision that we won't do that. But if members want a second bite, I'll gladly give you, all of you. Already, those are the hands. I think let's go for it. Honorable Dose? Yes, yeah, all of us will do.
Mr. Naidu, two questions, and try to be precise, as you have been, in fact. It is a conflict of interest. You are interested in the ANC paying you for the work that you do. They're interested, the ANC is openly interested in a specific direction of the SABC. Is it in your good conscience, ethically correct, to toe that line so thin in light of what has happened and the public reputation that now the SABC, enjoys as an ANC thing, just in a precise way?
With respect, honorable member, let me explain what a conflict of interest is. If you sit on a particular board and you are in a position to take a decision that influences a particular outcome where you have an interest, that's what a conflict of interest is, you see. Now, it's nice to talk about this concept, but it's very important to understand what it really
means. Mr. Naidu, you are interested in the ANC paying you. That's why you won't resign. The ANC, which then says go to the board in your own admission, is interested in certain outcomes. It's open about it. We are interested, the DA is interested, everyone is interested here. You are in an ethical dilemma. Is it not wise for you to attain a distance from the ANC so that we have confidence in your presence in the board?
Honorable Mr. Naidu, your time is up. Honorable Fanda?
Chair, I think honorable
because Dose, I will do this. If you take more than this minute I gave you, I will not allow the member, the candidate to respond.
All right, I'm going to speak very quickly and allow Mr. Naidu to also respond partly to Honorable Ndlozi's question. So now there's been a narrative built that you're just a consultant, you consult for all different political parties, which is not reflected in your CV. In your CV you say, at present I am a consultant to the ANC and a legal advisor to the ANC's National Disciplinary Committee. You do not say you're a legal advisor, a freelancer who gives advice to all political parties. You work in the ANC, you give advice to the ANC, so I think that needs to be made very clear.
What I did say with respect, honorable member, if you look at my CV, I said, in the past when I practiced, I gave advice to a number of organizations, and that's on my CV. Now I'm not practicing anymore, I'm on a non-practicing role. And I just work with one client, which is ANC, but in the past, when I practiced, I've acted for a whole range of political organizations, and that's what my CV says.
No problem. Are you done that side, Honorable Tolasha?
No, Honorable Chairperson, I think I'm satisfied with the way Mr. Naidu has responded. In fact, maybe with time we need to be taken through as a committee on the actual role of the board and understand the laws that govern, because it's like now we are in a committee. Because there's no sin to be a member of the ANC. It's no sin to ANC to suggest that people must go and be part of the board. It's no sin. This is the arrangement of the country. If Mr. Naidu can speak to that, this country has been arranged such that there are different political parties. Whom other people belong to those political parties, insofar as the history is concerned, and that cannot be changed overnight. If Mr. Naidu can just speak on that so that you can be on the same page. Thank you.
Thank you, honorable member. I think we must be cautious about creating perceptions and innuendos of political influence when the reality is there for everyone to see. If one has regard to the minutes of the SABC for the last 3.5 years and look at anything that I've said that could, contrary to my character, say that I've gone there for political influence, well, then there's a case to be made. But there's nothing that I've said which one can objectively deduce that, yes, the person who's come here for a political purpose. Now, the records are there for everyone to see.
Thank you very much. Any other hand?
I think probably I'll follow 16. You see, it will be another story, Mr. Naidoo. If you heed the fact that you are advising the ANC, because that story is not there. The fact that you have disclosed it makes another story. So all I want to say, the bottom line is, I agree with you. Demonstrate to South Africans that you are an independent professional. And I agree with you that you be judged on that basis, you be dealt with on that basis. There's no more comment I want to make.
You still have something, Honorable Kalako? Yeah, there you are. You wanted it, I gave it to you. That's it. Thank you very much, Mr. Naidoo.
Mr. Chairperson and Honorable Member.
Thank you very much. If you have a question, you can, because we are going to break for dinner now.
I've got no questions. I think I've given a very candid approach. I was not hiding anything from this committee, and when contentious matters.
Thank you very much. You don't have a question.
Okay.
Go well. Now, members, we have 3.